السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, I must have discussed a year or two ago, but it is my habit to make a lot of dua before the Jummah Bayan, that Allah Ta'ala must put some kind of mazmoon or topic which is relevant for me, for you, for the congregation. Then even if it has been discussed many times, then I truly believe that it is beneficial, because that is what the Quran Sharif is for, that we should repeatedly read those ayat, those verses, repeatedly try and understand, and then check if it has come into our lives. If it hasn't come into our lives, then it means that we need more of that medication. If a person is taking a medication for some kind of sickness and illness, and he hasn't recovered, so then he doesn't stop. He goes and takes more of that same medication. If it has been helping, there is gradual improvement, then he continues with it according to the doctor's instruction. And sometimes the medication is changed, but he needs more of it. So like that, we need this spiritual medication all the time. Unfortunately, at present, our topics of discussion when it comes to our walimas, our nikahs, our get-togethers, our informal meetings, the general topic of discussion has got nothing to do with the deen of the person. I'm talking about the general topic of discussion. I've explained this many times, that there is no doubt that in Islam everything can become deen. Our earning of livelihood can become deen. It can become a source of ibadat. It can become rewarding. In the same way, the person's marriage, his walimas, his association with people, his visiting the family members, friends, relatives, sick, poor, needy. Now all these things are all ibadat. But a person has to know his deen also. That what is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's command? What is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's instruction? What was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example? How did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conduct himself? How did the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conduct themselves in the different situations? Because for every situation that we face in this world, there will be some kind of an example or some kind of a lesson that we can take from some companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because amongst the companions, they were very rich people, they were very poor people, they were rulers, they were governors, they were business people, they were farmers, they were people in different kinds of fields. So therefore a person will be able to get some kind of lesson, and he will find some kind of example in the stories that we will read of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So our discussion, as I said, is very, very limited when it comes to our deeni matters. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif came very strongly in my mind that I should repeat. I don't even remember when last did I speak on it, but in any case. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this verse makes it very clearly known that that day, that is the day of judgment, on that day, on Qiyamah day, the wealth of a person and his children will not be of avail to him. They will not help him in any way. They'll be of no good to him. They'll be of no benefit to him. There'll be of no assistance to him. His wealth and his children. Malum wala banu. So then immediately the doubt will arise, so then what is the purpose of wealth? What is the purpose of living in this world? If your wealth cannot be of any help to you and your children cannot be of any help to you. So we have to understand what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says after that. Illa man atallaha bi qalbin salim. Except the person who comes with a sound heart. The person who comes with a qalb salim. A heart which is free of kufr, of shirk, of bid'at. That person, when he comes, then he is going to have no problem on the day of Qiyamah. So then what is this qalb salim? Because on the one hand we are told that this wealth and the children will be of no good. And on the other side we are told that the person who comes with qalb salim, then it will definitely be of good to him on the day of Qiyamah. It will help him, that qalb salim, that sound heart, that heart which is free of kufr and shirk. So Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Ali, Sayyid Mahmud Baghdadi, in his Tafsir Ruhul Maani, which is one of the best Arabic tafsirs. So he gives five tafsirs of this Qalb Salim. The first thing that he mentions there is Alladhi Yunfiqo Malahu Fi Sabilil Bir. That person who spends his wealth in good causes. So we were told that the wealth will be of no help. But now that we are told that if that wealth is used in good causes, then it will be of help. That same wealth now will become of help and assistance. Whatever he used in good causes. And good causes are not only masajid, madaris, build up schools, or build up hospitals. Now, all those things are all good causes. But together with that, the money that the person spends on his wife, on his children, for the upbringing of the children, for the care of the wife, and for the fulfillment of other needs, then that is also considered to be spent in good cause. Now, how simple Islam is, how beautiful Islam is. The person is buying food, is going to go into his stomach. He's going to go into the stomach of his children, into the stomachs of his wife and family members, whoever he's supporting. Now his niyat is correct. He went to earn livelihood. And when he earned it, now he's spending it for their upkeep. So that too is considered as a good cause. And if he's spending in other causes, masajid, madaris, the poor, the needy, the destitute, where people are affected by disasters and other things, then of course that is an added bonus. So if that person is spending his wealth in this type of causes, then this wealth will now become of help to him on the day of Qiyamah. So from this we learn that if that wealth is not spent in good cause, then it will become a wabal, or it will become a curse for him, and that is what will lead him to destruction. So in this month of December, I mentioned last night also in my program, that there will be temptations. From all sides there will be invitation to come towards sin, come towards sin. They may not label it like that, but in fact that is what the advertisements will be saying. We've got this program laid out for you, and we've got entertainment of discos, cinemas, theatres, musical shows, what kinds of shows. The casinos will also advertise that with a few rands of yours you could win this and you could win that. So there will be an invitation from all sides. Then the prostitutes will invite, the escort agencies will invite. Everything will be flooded. Whichever side you look at, there will be nothing but invitation towards haram. And 99% of these type of haram entertainment, you cannot go without money. A person cannot just get free everything. If he's going to purchase those videos and movies, there has to be money spent. So that same money, if he used it in good causes, it would have been of benefit and help to him, and Allah Ta'ala would have given him barakat in this world also. He would have found peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction in his life. But now that same money which is going to be spent now on haram, then is going to bring restlessness in his life, anxieties, worries and problems. And sometimes it's major problems which the person then cannot even get out of. And then he wants to commit suicide and he wants to do all kinds of other things. because the person tried to enjoy life through haram entertainment, but there is no such thing as satisfaction in haram entertainment. If a person is committing adultery or is committing fornication or is watching all the filth, then there is no such thing as a level that he will reach where he will say that now I am satisfied. There will be no level where he will reach where he will be satisfied. There will always be, is there more, like what Jahannam will say, Hal min mazid, are there any more? It will never get filled. So like that, this person in sins, they will always be, is there more that I can see? Is there more that I can watch? Is there more that I can listen to? Is there more that I can engage in and indulge in? That is what it will be. Lifelong it will be like that. And the person's life will become restless. So that is the first thing, that the wealth, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِّ. That is one of the tafsir of قلب سليم. So we should check, where are we spending our wealth? Nafs and shaitan will never allow us to even think in that direction. So what is wealth therefore? Use it. No doubt, use it. Eat, drink, help poor, needy, do everything right. But to spend it in haram is rebelling against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is our benefactor. Then we must be prepared for whatever happens. Look across the board, whose life is a happy one? That little while of happiness, that little while of joy and little while of pleasure, it doesn't last. After that it's again restlessness. So therefore, one of the tafsir of this qalb salim is الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِ. So then that wealth will help the person on the day of Qiyamah. Whatever he spent correctly with the right niyat and right intention, then that will be of benefit to him. But what he spent in the wrong places, then definitely it is going to be a cause of great regret on the day of Qiyamah. The second tafsir, we can't go into detail, I've just given you some lessons there. The second tafsir of it is الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. The meaning of which is that on the day of Qiyamah, just as we discussed that wealth and children, الَّذِي, that on the day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Wealth and children are not going to be of any help. Now here again, that same child, if he is given the right upbringing, the right disciplining, the child is given the right education, taught the right morals, the right akhlaq, the child is not given poison. At present, little children, we give them such kind of cell phones that they watch all those things which is not even permissible for adults to watch. Muslim adults. We're not talking about those who are not Muslims. Little children, they come with such kind of sophisticated cell phone to the schools and madrasas. And thereafter they engage in exactly that which they are watching. Now who is responsible? Can that little child just go and buy one cell phone on his own? If the child has got his own money also, there must be some disciplining. What is the need for that child to own such a kind of an expensive cell phone on which porn sites can be downloaded within seconds? And some of them are so fast at it that even adults cannot cope with them. Believe me what I'm telling you. 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds are caught out. All this what we hear in America and other parts of the world of little children shooting their parents and shooting the teachers and killing and murdering, then we want to know where did they pick it up from. So, الَّذِي يُرْشَدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. That is the second tafsir of قَلْبِ سَلِيمِ. That child who has been given proper upbringing, that child who has been given right guidance, disciplining does not necessarily mean harshness. Disciplining doesn't mean harshness. Look at the history of Islam. Those children who grew up and their jazba, their shauk and their zauk, as we say, that their desire, their aspiration, was nothing but to serve the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from the little age that they were in. How to make ibadat of Allah ta'ala, how to do good deeds, to go out of their way to do some kind of service. Little children also want to do some service for them. So we must work with incentives, just as we give them incentives for other things. In the same way, work with incentives. Then that time they will ask a question, but then the child will do this just for the sake of that money that we will give. The child will do this just for the sake of that gift. We don't have to worry about that. The child is being trained. Then as he grows, he will understand what is ikhlas. But at this age, the person has to use incentives. The child wants to go to the disco, wants to go to the cinema, or wants to buy something that we know is going to be harmful. Then what do we do if the child is sick? The child has got high temperature, but is demanding popsicle or is demanding some other kind of thing that is going to be harmful. Or the very food, the person has got a lot of acidity in his body and is asking for the same kind of cool drinks or other things which have got a lot of acid. What do we do at that time? Do we say, no, take it, whatever you want, take it? We don't do that. We say, the doctor has prohibited it and it's going to be injurious and harmful to your health. Therefore, we can't allow you to drink this or eat that. Don't we say that? So what about that which is going to be harmful and injurious to the person's spiritual health? Just as we are talking about physical health, then what about the spiritual health? Because the physical health, there's no doubt, we have to look after our bodies, but one day we are going to die and turn to dust. The body will turn to dust, the soul will live on. But with regards to the spiritual health, if the child's spiritual health is destroyed, then that same parent will have to hold his head and cry. That same mother will tear after that. Sit with those same children and watch all the haram. And after that, when those children become rebellious and when they become a pain in the neck, then they say, some jinnat has got this child. Some jadu has affected this child. That is exactly that jinn and jadu which has affected it. And no taweez will help that. The taweez walas are doing roaring business because of our weaknesses. What is really affecting is our akhlaq, our character, what they are watching all the time. Now little children, when they are going to watch that TV program for hours and hours and all the other type of things that they are watching, it has an effect. Scientifically it is proven the kind of effect that it has on the brains of those little children. But they will conceal these things because they don't want us to stop purchasing all these things. But it's there, you can check it up. There's a lot of research that has been done on it. How the nerves of the person is shattered. Now the child will behave as a mad child. Sometimes you will say that's epilepsy. Sometimes you will say something else. But what is the cause of that? So if spiritually the child's health is affected, it will affect everything. The relationship with the parents will be affected, with the brothers and sisters in the house. Look at little children, they want to take knives and start stabbing. These are not fairy tales. Little sister has to just say something and the child is running with a knife to stab the sister. So it is for our own good. Don't give them in their hands that which is poisonous for their spiritual health. Just as we don't give them poison which will destroy their physical health. So الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِّ الَّذِي يُرْشَدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Then الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا مِنَ الْأَقَائِدِ الْبَاطِلَ. The person whose heart is clear of aqaid which is batil, falsehood. Now there again, that is that same disciplining, that he himself also must have his heart clear of those aqaid, those beliefs, which are contrary to Islamic beliefs. Look at the type of superstitious beliefs that we hold nowadays. And there's so much of other things which are nothing but kufr and shirk. Because we don't have the knowledge that where do we draw the line. Some other time also I mentioned that many people, they read this, what your stars foretell, and they truly believe that that is how it works. They truly believe that. And if a cat has crossed your path, then this is what is going to happen, bad luck will come. So if that person has got a $1 million deal after that, he's going to make big profit, then why doesn't he go back home? But in other matters, straight away he'll say, no, superstitious beliefs. That is just one small thing, but I'm talking about real beliefs which are falsehood. Then this another tafsir of Qalb-e Saleem, because these are the people who their wealth and their children are going to be no avail and no help. But the person who has got his heart clear of these type of things and he's disciplining his children, he is using his wealth correctly. And then the fourth thing after that that is mentioned, الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا مِنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ الَّتِي تُؤَدِّي إِلَى النَّارِ. Passions are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created passions in man. For procreation and for the continuance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created passions in man. And therefore we are given direction that when the person becomes of marriageable age, then he should make nikah. But nowhere is he given permission to go and visit escort agencies and prostitute quarters or engage in adultery and fornication. So passions and shahawat is something that Allah Ta'ala has created. But there must not be a ghalba, there must not be an overpowering of those passions to such an extent that the person becomes blind after that to what is reality and haqiqat. That is one of the major problems. That we have after that no control. And especially those who are working in business houses and all around them nothing but women, women, women. Then who doesn't know that what is the end result? Now we will say you have to go to work, you have to go and do some business, you have to be in these activities. Nobody stops. We know we can't separate in the marketplace. But those who purposely put themselves in that kind of a situation, where does it say that you must have a young, pretty secretary? Where does it say? What about all our youth who are finishing their metric exams and they're going to universities and all that? Cannot they do that same job? In fact, if you employ them, then at least you'll be taking care of a family. Employing the man, you'll be taking care of a family. But when the trend is now just employ, employ and employ young women, young women, young women, what is happening is we are taking the jobs away from those who are supposed to be supporters of families. They say this is equality of the sexes, but we know what is happening. What we have really done is that when that person with his degrees and qualifications, he goes, or that young person who has got the ability and capability, but when he goes for a job, they say, sorry, no job. Why? Because the whole shop is filled with girls and with young women. Every kind of job is given to them. Now this person who's got wife, he's got children, he's got house rent, light and water to pay, now he's got no job. No doubt, there may be some women who are desperate. They have to support themselves and they have to support sometimes the family also. Those are exceptions. But where they are only earning solely for the good clothes and lipstick and powder and all other kinds of entertainment, so then was it not the duty of that Muslim to pay that little extra but employ that person who will take care of a whole family? We are complaining now that lots of husbands are lazy, they're not working because we have given their jobs to those who were not really desperately in need of those jobs. And now that husband also sometimes then becomes quite happy. The wife, must I go and work when my wife is going to support me? Thereafter they complain. Said, my husband has become lazy, he doesn't want to go to work. Now then when he finds a job also, he doesn't want to go to work. Islam, the moment we leave, the moment we go far away from the teachings of Islam, it's nothing but problems of all kinds. So, maalo aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, kya qiyamat hai ke isse tu khabardar nahi. So nobody is stopping from the usage of wealth. So qalb-e-saleem. The time is running out, so we'll conclude with the last one. That person whose heart is clear from amma siwallah, other than Allah, ghayrullah, must not enter the heart of the person. Now this we can go on explaining. But Hazrat Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi's beautiful share explains it. Dil mera ho jaye ek meydane ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. Dil mera ho jaye ek meydane ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل، درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل، منی محبت اف اللہ تعالی، غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر، تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدر. اللہ وچ ایور ڈائریکشن آئی لک، آئی سی یور قدرت، آئی سی یور پاور، آئی سی یور گلوری، آئی سی یور مائٹ. I believe that you are Razzaq, the sustainer. I believe you are the one who gives life and death. I believe you are the creator of the heaven and hell and the universe and everything else that exists. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us qalb saleem. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of mankind around the globe and especially the ummah of Nabiyyu Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May He protect us from all the fitnas which are lashing at us like storms, and especially in this month of December. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ